I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankful to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, we pray for wisdom. We pray that you'd speak through us this morning, Lord. That you would fill us with your Spirit, God. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name. All right, again, send greetings, bring greetings to you from the people in Brazil and people we're with down there this week, and just was a real blessing to visit with them. This morning, have you turn in your Bibles to First John chapter 2. Let's just begin in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither that loveth not his brother. He that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother, hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and God knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. There are just so many clear teachings in these few verses that we've read. Nothing is clearer than that there is two ways of life, two worlds that we live in. He that doeth righteousness and he that doeth evil. This makes a great distinction that there are two paths. There are two ways. There are two kingdoms. One of the Father and one of the world. One of God, one of Satan. It is the spirit of this world is real. We see this world. We know it's real. It's what we live in. We know our flesh and what it seeks after. And it seeks after the things of the world. We know these things because we see them. But yet, they're overshadowed. And it makes us seem that this is what's real. It's what we see as real is the world. Christ came speaking from above. We live in a world that has been separated and fallen from God. We live in a world that Satan is the king in this world. This is his world. God speaks, reaching into this world, calling us up out of it. He is trying to bring us back to himself. This world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of these things that we can feel, and seek after, and we know. And God is trying to bring us to something much higher than that. People know that there's a God. And the God of this world is glad to step in and usurp the authority in between God. He's the Antichrist. He is the usurper. And he has stepped in and he's set himself up as God. The Bible talks about in Thessalonians, we mentioned it talking with a man this week, that the Antichrist will enter the temple of God and declare that he's God. All of my life I was brought up to teach, or I was taught, that the Antichrist was someone that was going to enter into the temple in Jerusalem and stand up and be against God. And that was the Antichrist. And then he'd make everybody take the mark of the beast and force them to turn from God. But as I studied, the temple of God is this body. And if someone would enter this body and declare that he was God, that wasn't God, that happens all the time. It's not something that might happen one of these days, and it may. But the temple of God is the body. And Satan has entered in to man and is in control of man, declaring that he's of God. That is the Antichrist system. If we do the works of God and we do the righteousness of God, we're of God. If we do the deeds of the devil, we're of the devil. There is no in between. We are one way or the other. When Satan enters in and people declare that they're Christians and say that they're Christians, but inside and in works, they don't follow Christ, they are the Antichrist. God has called us out of this. Christ came into this world to deliver us from that. All of the things, religion so easily usurps that place where God belongs. The devil loves to be worshipped. The devil is the god of this world. And the devil wants his people to be happy. The devil wants his people to be content with what he offers them. We've got this idea that the devil just wants to destroy everything and just make us miserable. The devil wants you to be happy. The devil would love to have a kingdom that functions. The devil would love to have a kingdom that works well. But the very nature of sin in the world won't allow that to happen. Everything that he does destroys and tears down. That's why he's destructive. It's not because he wants destruction. It's because his very nature is destructive. His very nature is death. His very nature is suffering. Because when you seek things apart from God and his ways, there is sin and death and pain in it. When you do what is right, God is good. And when you follow His way, it is good. And it's right. And it's perfect. But when you stray from that, it's bad. It's wrong. And it's evil. It's destructive. Satan wants you to be happy in this world. You know, there's a lot of people tell us on the street that say, "You mean God don't want us to be happy?" You know what God they're thinking of? They're thinking of the God of this world. Yes, your God wants you to be happy in this world. Yes, He wants you to, if your marriage didn't work out, just go get you another one. That's what He wants. You be happy. The whole focus is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You make sure you're happy. This constitution that's set up, that in the preamble it says that one of the rights of man is to the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the heart of the world. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Making me happy. The God of this world wants His subjects to be happy with His reign, with His kingdom. And so He offers them that pursuit to do your own thing. You be happy. Christ came into the world not so that you would be happy in this world. This is Satan's world. He don't want you happy here. He don't want you happy in the enemy's camp. He wants you to come out of it and be separate and be different so that you'll fit into His camp. The pursuit of happiness is not what God wants. One man said one time, "If I have the choice to be happy or holy," he said, "I've got all eternity to be happy. Give me holiness while I'm here. I can be happy in eternity." The ironic thing about it is that when you get to that attitude and you be holy, you're happy. But not in this world. Instead of having turmoil, when all the turmoil's coming at you, you have peace right in the middle of it. Instead of being miserable, you have joy to press on, to give you strength to go on. But if you seek after those things yourself, that just brings the opposite. That just brings the destruction. Because that very nature of this world will bring destruction. It's not made that way. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Is that saying you never make a mistake? No. You never stumble? No. That means that your world is not this world anymore. And you have a heart to please God instead of pleasing yourself. And the desire of your heart is to follow that and to live that way. And to be a part of His kingdom. Christ has come to call us out of this world to live for Him. He's called us to another kingdom. That's what being born again is about. It's not some mystical thing that happens. It's whenever you choose to die to this kingdom and become alive to the new kingdom. That you change kings, you change worlds, and you don't fit anymore with this world. They don't know who you are anymore because they didn't know Christ. Christ came into this world and the world knew Him not. He created it. But the world didn't know Him. They didn't know who He was. And if we follow Him, they won't know who we are. We get all excited sometimes and we want everybody to know we're Christians. And we think that if we're a bold Christian, everybody will just recognize us as being a Christian. And the closer we get to God, the less people recognize that. The closer we get to Christ, the less people recognize that. Because they didn't recognize Him. We're of a different world. We're of a different kingdom. This world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will all pass away. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. The Spirit is real. The Spirit of the world is real. In Titus, chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't need a Bible to hear from God. God is speaking to every man. The God of this world has got things so messed up and so confused that there's people all over the world that can follow the text and the letter and the dogmas of the Bible and miss God completely. You can study this book for 1,000 years and never hear God. never hear God and never know about God. Because God is a spirit. And that spirit is just as real, realer than this piece of flesh. What makes it realer? It endures forever. This flesh is just temporary. God is speaking to every man, woman, boy, and child, if you have ears to hear Him. He is teaching you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. Whenever I say that, I'm not talking about a sense of just what is right and wrong. Just bad things, wrong things. I made a good judgment. I chose the right thing. That is not what I'm talking about. That is what religion does. People who don't want religion say it doesn't matter. I'm going to choose the wrong because it absolutely pleases my flesh. People who have religion say this is right and wrong and just, and justice must be served. And they follow after that. That is not the righteousness that God is talking about. The righteous will do what's right, and the righteous will make those right decisions and be just and fair. But they'll also be higher than that. They'll deny the worldly lust of just justice. They'll deny the worldly lust of right. They will be what's right. They'll overcome evil with good. They'll do what is right, not just, they'll do what's right. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to every man, teaching the ways from the Father and how opposite they are from the ways of the world. He's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. We talk to people all the time, and a couple of them last night, they grew up and they just left church because they were told to worship this Bible, basically. That there wasn't nothing wrong. This was perfect. This was God itself, all but. This just leads us to God. God is alive. And He is not just speaking in a dead book, just a piece of paper with letters written on it. God is speaking to you now. He is calling you now to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world, looking for that blessed hope. There's a lot of people live righteously, soberly, and do all those things in this world, but they're doing it for the hope that they have in this world. We're looking for the hope, the blessed hope, the Christ that's going to return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who hear not God. All those who will not hear what He's trying to say as He's speaking from above. Christ and God are on a level playing field in this world. God has bound Himself so that He's gave Satan the same rules, basically, to play by. When you're in the world, you're Satan's. You're His. When you lust in the flesh, pride of life, the lust of the eyes, Whenever you're living for yourself, you are Satan. Cut and dried. God will not reach down and just snatch you out of there. He will not do that. All He can do is stay to the side and say, deny ungodliness. He can, we'll use this word, tempt you to righteousness. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Live righteously, soberly, and godly. To the world, why would I want to do that? And so they don't hear Him. But there's some that do. What is this voice that's teaching me to deny this and to live righteously and godly? There's more hope than in this world. And they begin to be drawn away. Not by their own lust, but by their own desire to seek God. And they're drawn into that until they get to the place where they jump ship. Where they leave this and say, I'm going that way. I'm going to follow this God that's speaking from above. When you get over there, Satan can't just reach in and take you out. No man can pluck him out of my hand. But he can say, hey, look over here. Look here. Look at this. Boy, isn't that enticing? Doesn't that just tickle your flesh? Isn't that pretty to look at? And it kind of gets our attention. Hey, yeah, that is. That's pretty nice. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Hey, here's an offer. Here's an offer you can't refuse. This will set you up. This will fix you up. The pride of life. This is all you need, and you'll just be comfortable in this world. He just entices us with those things. He's not going to reach in and pick us out because He can't. Just like God won't reach in and take someone out of the world because He won't. Satan can stand on the sidelines and entice you. He can send someone your way to cause you to be overcome, to lure you back in to his world. There's two kingdoms. The way we overcome Satan is overcome him. That's why Jesus taught what he did. How do you overcome anger? You forgive. How do you overcome bitterness? You let it go. How do you overcome wealth? You give. You don't set your heart on those things. Whenever we're dead, Satan has nothing to offer us. It's not enticing to us because we just don't want that. We don't need that anymore. We found something much better. It's why we need to keep our hearts on the glory of and the majesty of Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to live to please Him. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. How glorious that we could be called the sons of God. That's a glorious thing. That we, these wretched human beings that have chosen to rebel against Him, could return and become a part of His glorious kingdom. To be a servant of the Most High God. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. These people that say they're Christians and are not purifying themselves are liars. Because if anyone is in Christ, he's purifying himself to be more like Christ. He's overcoming this world. We overcome temptations. We overcome bitterness. We overcome those things that come upon us, not by succumbing to them, but by overcoming them. When someone puts us down, how do we overcome it? You overcome it by lowering yourself a little more. When someone's taking advantage of us, how do you overcome it? Give them a little more. It's not just about a justice system of just someone ask you this or do that. We're in a war. And Satan is trying to overcome us any way he can. And if you've got something that bugs you, that's where he's going to hit. If you've got somebody that bugs you, that's the person he's going to use. And the only way that they can get any help is whenever you get help. Because they were probably sent there just for you. And when you can overcome evil with good, there might be help for that person. We get in the way. Wives get in the way of their husbands because they try to change them. They try to fix their husband. And whenever they get in the way, God can't even get near them. Because all they see is somebody trying to change them. But when the wife will submit and overcome, then God can get to the man. And that's just the way it is with the world. People are against us, but we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. And as long as we're upset because they're against us, God can't help them, and we're on dangerous ground. Two wrongs don't make it right. You know, going to war because of somebody's done something to me. Retaliation. Because someone did me wrong. I've used the example. How many of you, if you had children? You have children. You got one boy that's a good boy most of the time. You got one boy that's a mean boy most of the time. And the mean boy does something to provoke the good boy. Do you want to see the good boy just beat the tar out of the bad boy? Oh, good. He's beating up my other son. Is that what you want? No. They both get in trouble because they were fighting. We tell children, You don't hit back. You don't do that. Because they're our children. It don't matter what they've done to you. God looks and sees two people fighting instead of one provoking the other one. He'll get his punishment for provoking. Don't worry. But you'll get yours for retaliating. Because it's still two children just fighting. And it don't matter whether that's with money, your pride, somebody taking advantage of you at work, somebody not pulling his load. If you're retaliating and you're rising up in your heart, that's your problem, not theirs. God will take care of theirs. But you've got a problem. In church, whenever you're having troubles with somebody else, you're disgusted or aggravated at somebody else, that's your problem. I think that's one of the things that what it means to love your brethren. That's the only way a church will work. Whenever everybody takes care of their own business. And everybody has a pure heart towards their brother. Despite his faults or his quirks or his aggravation or his aggravating ways. If it's bothering you, that's your problem. We need to keep the war in here. Oh, he said something that offended me. The Bible says that those that keep my laws, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. That's what the condemnation is about, is if your heart condemns you. Whenever we're on God's side, we're not condemned. We go out and people just, they get so disgusted. You're condemning us. That just told me right where they're at. Thing about it is, if you're not guilty, told one man yesterday that, call me a bank robber. See if that bothers me. Why would that bother me? I'm not a bank robber. Call me a murderer. It's not going to bother me. But if you call me something that I am, then I need to change. That's just evidence that I'm condemned. Light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So, young lady we talked to Thursday night, she came up and just telling how much she was a Christian and just talked and boldly talked, and there was a boy with her and he got a word in every once in a while and she just kept telling all about it. And she, I don't know what she was arguing about at first, and I just turned the sign and it said, be meek, quiet, and covered. And I said, do you agree with this? You said you agreed with some of this other stuff, but there's some problem here. Why are you feeling condemned? And she said, well, I'm not that. And I said, you're right. I don't have no problem with agreeing with you there. And I said, the Bible says that someone of great value in God's sight, a woman, has a meek and quiet spirit. What are you saying? I can still be a Christian. Something that's great value, and you're saying you're still a Christian when you're opposite of what is great value to God? What is opposite of great value? you're saying I'm going to hell? And I said, no, you're saying that because you just told me that you were opposite of what... And she stormed off. She was guilty and she knew it. That's the confrontation. She did it herself. And all we did was bring it out. And she had to face it. And she didn't like what she saw. We are of another kingdom. And it's manifest. Those who are walking in the light and those who are walking in the darkness. Why can't people be around us? Why are we rejected? Why don't they recognize us? Because we're not of them. And it don't bother us. We want them to be of us. We want them to be of Christ's kingdom. We want them to be born into the Spirit of the true God. The righteous God. The God that deserves our worship. Humble yourselves. Be a servant to all. Someone asks you something, you go the extra mile. If he wants you to go 1 mile, you go 2. That's how you overcome. You overcome evil with good. That's the purpose of this. It's not so he gets 2 miles a mile free. Buy one, get one free. That's not what it's about. It's about you overcoming evil with good. It's about you doing what's right. And not being, oh. You know, usually people grumble the first part of a punishment. After they've been getting it a while, they'd kind of get humbled and they'd get over it. And then it's not so bad the second mile. You know, you walk the first mile and you may just be just about half mad because you're having to do it. But then you go the second one and this isn't so bad. Maybe I ought to go 3. Overcome it. When someone does you wrong, with a right heart, do them good. They are just, people are just an instrument of Satan. It is not that person. They've yielded themselves to this world. They've yielded themselves as a pawn to their king. And so the little things they do to bug you is because their king is in control of them. It's not a personal thing with them. They hate your God. And they hate you. And they want you to come back to them. It's not a personal vendetta that someone has against you whenever they try to do you wrong. They're just being a puppet for their God. That's why we're to forgive them. Because they really don't know what they are doing. They're of another kingdom and another nature, and they're being faithful to their king. And if anything God loves is someone who's faithful. He would rather you be completely faithful to your king than or him than to be in the middle, saying that you're part of him and still going this other way. God honors faithfulness. He respects it. He hates hypocrisy. So if someone's faithful to their king, let them be faithful to him. Just try to tell him, boy, I wish you could be as faithful to our king as you are to yours. Whenever I was in the world, I loved the world. When I was in the world, I sought the world with my whole heart. I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. I loved the world. I loved the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I loved it. I wanted all I could get of it. I was a good servant. Now that I'm following Christ, I want all I can get of it. I want to be a good servant for Him. I want to be as faithful to God as I was to Satan. You know, there's people, I don't know how they say, oh, nobody can be perfect. Well, there's people that can be perfectly evil. Why can't we be perfectly good? People can be perfectly wrong. Why can't we be perfectly right? The playing field's equal. It's level. We can be just as holy as they can be wicked. That's what's going to make the judgment day a serious day. God made us to be good. He didn't make us to be wicked. And yet, we can go to the full extent of wickedness. And we don't think we can go very far into righteousness. That is not believing in Christ. That is unbelief. Because we don't want to. Because the siren call of the world still tickles our ears. Pursue happiness. Make yourself happy. It'll entice us and draw us away. There's only two kingdoms. Pray that we'd be as loyal to our kingdom as the world is to theirs. Let's be as busy about our kingdom as they are about theirs. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy again to us. Help us, Father, I pray, to be faithful to You, loyal to You, Lord. For Thou art worthy to be praised, worthy to be served, God. Lord, help us overcome the evil one. We ask this in the precious blood, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have anything you'd like to share?
I just wanted to confess my faults before everyone. I listened to some music yesterday that I shouldn't have. It kept repeating in my head. I'm sorry.
Bless you.
If we heard the call of God to us this morning, we were tempted to do right, you know, blessing, thank you for that call and that light to back it up. God bless you. lesson there in Joplin. There was on the 4th of July when they had the celebration. And we preached, and so many people venting their hatred for the light and arguing with us. And then that young man came up and started serving and began to ask questions and began to be delighted with the light and the challenge and to contradict the people who were against us, defending us. And he turned to us and said, and asked, it just about seems like you all have found some kind of joy and happiness. That's right. But we weren't looking for it.
Yeah.
We decided to please the Lord. And in pleasing the Lord, we found happiness.
Amen. It's
right along with what you said.
Same life. We were out at Westport this Friday night, and this lady knew us from Dixon Street. she said, "Are you guys, you ever go down to Arkansas from Fayetteville next to Dixon Street?"
Yes.
And anyway, as the conversation progressed, she was very angry with the gay sign. We came to find out that she wasn't, she was not, she posed like she was some sort of a believer in God. Christian, but eventually I said, "Do you even believe in God or the Bible?" She said, "Well, no." And she said, "But that offends me." And I said, "Well, if you don't believe in God, you shouldn't believe in sin. And therefore, this shouldn't offend you one second. But it does, because your conscience is bearing witness, and there is something wrong. And that's why it bothers you, because you want it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it's wrong." And she just, I mean, it was just furious. Stomped out eventually, but it's just like she knew it was wrong. She might get it.
Amen.
This is a sermon I appreciate the thought of going the second mile. That's what it takes to be a Christian. There was a story in a reader when I taught school. The title was something like, "You walk the first mile with an enemy, the second mile with a friend." And this is the story of this boy that was carrying the pack for a Roman soldier way back in Jesus' time. The first mile, he was grumbling every step of the way as he carried his pack, and he had to for 1 mile. Then as he was stomping along, he was remembering Jesus' teaching about going the second mile. And so he decided to go to the second mile carrying his pack. The Roman soldier was like, "Well, you quit now, you went a mile." "Oh no, I think I'll just keep going." They went the second mile, they started talking, and it just, he found friends at the end of the second mile.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Feeling spirit that
makes you think that you got born again or saved or whatever, that we always understood this scripture and never dealt with it, but that's the way they place. Were you forgiven? Were you still believe? Were you asked to forgive you? Things like that. And that's what they would say then. But this has meaning. This really means something.
Amen.
That's the spirit that sets itself at odds with, and it is at odds with the world. And the spiritual world is real.
Amen. All right, Joe Morris' oldest daughter at home, Becca, got bit by a copperhead last night, so pray for her. She's all right, she's just hurting pretty bad, so a lot of pain. So. She's the oldest daughter at home, 22 or something, 21 or 22 or something. Anyway, well, so we'll meet back here at 6 this evening. Lord bless you.